question.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. Wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mothers cry cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambo. I'm the host of this show. Welcome. Show of truth. That's what it is. Family, I don't want to, you know, blow it up like I am the purveyor of all truth. I'm not by any stretch of imagination. But I've got research that I've put together. I've been in places. And all I'm doing in my broadcast for free, for free, is to try to wake people up best way I know how. God's given me the opportunity. He's given me the equipment in such a way. The skills I've had for years, because I've been a teacher, instructor, Marines, law enforcement, federal employees, Saudi Arabian National Guard, just Kuwait, all kinds of places. Three real-world conditions, Marine Corps for 12 years, government contracting for another 15 or 20. The experience I've got and the urgency is also there when I got out and resigned that lifestyle and now I'm trying to warn people. It's all I do. It's all I care to do. Because I know what's going on. I don't capitalize on it. I don't benefit from it personally at all, or virtually none. It costs money, costs time. But I donate it. I volunteer it. This is my volunteer service. Never thought of it that way before. But this is what I do. I can back up everything I say. If I don't have backup for it, evidence, then I don't say it on the air. If I say it's my opinion, this is my opinion, though. Well, my opinion is established by 5, 6, 7, 8 facts or so that are put together, you come up with an opinion. So I don't base anything, even my opinion, except unless it's factually accumulated or is a fact stated that has got 3 or more references. You see, I have a system. I just don't blurt it out unless I've researched it, and then I attack my own research to make sure I did it right. I got a system I used that I learned over the years. And the main system I use is I belong to one, and that's Jesus Christ. No country, no flag, no sovereignty, no patriotism, all that stuff. I belong to Jesus. Now, what I see going on today is a reduction of patriotism by design. I love my country and all that stuff because I live here, etc., etc. But patriotism, in fact, Edward Bernays fashioned it. It goes back to the Freemasons of the Revolutionary War, designed to enslave, designed to incite, and to control people. Now, this is all documented. I'm not making anything up. It's done this way in every country. Because every country, the leaders in every country, are members of this one conspiracy. That's a fact. We'll talk about that today. At the very beginning, after I dedicate this broadcast, as I do. But then I'm going to go specifically in, and I call it the veteran genocide, because veterans, you are targeted specifically for a specific reason. And you have been since 1945 to 46 when it began. The setup was in the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s. Busy in World War I, busy in World War II, which was also pre-planned. Evidence of that is abound. And then after World War II, now they've reduced the sovereignty. They've trained an amazing fighting force that was not supposed to get... Listen to me. A fighting force, a country that was not supposed to have advanced past 1943-44. But it did. We were supposed to be in a new world order from 1945 on. That's a fact. Evidence from their own mouth. Confirm. FDR, Churchill, Japanese elite, Hitler, family, they're all working together. I've got evidence you will not refute. Deny it if you want. But you won't refute it. This is what the real background of this world is. FDR confirms he's going to establish a dictatorship by 1941. That's a fact by his own mouth. March 4th, 1939, behind closed doors in front of 3 congressional committees with a witness that gave this information out when FDR died after Yalta. He gave it to several authors. It was published, but never distributed, except in a book, Red Fog Over America, William G. Carr, not well known today, as it should be. I wonder why. This is the reality. Now, you can leave the broadcast now if you want. You can get upset if you want. You can deny it if you want. It's not going to change the fact. It's time we faced what's really going on today. To solve a problem, you got to identify the real problem, or you'll never solve it. You'll never be able to deal with it, and you'll be putting a Band-Aid on the amputation. Now, y'all can suit yourself if you want to. I prefer to seek facts and reality. I can't deal in fantasy, and I can't deal in this historical nonsense that we've been fed. I refuse to. If I have to stand alone, I'll do so. I don't care. I will not bow down to this Illuminati, Freemasons, Jesuits. Not going to happen. It's non-negotiable. I'm going to expose them. And then I move on about my happy little life and do whatever I do. But not until I expose what I can. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then I want to get started here. Got a lot to talk about. Today I'm going to focus primarily from the groundwork I laid yesterday. Part one, part two today. And a little more groundwork to lay today, but not a lot more. Famous last words. Then we want to focus on the war against our veterans. And the suicides that's being orchestrated. The death that's been directed toward our veterans. So they will not be a barrier, an obstacle, when they form the North American Union and the UN establishes a dictatorship in America. Okay? You know, little things like that. That's why they're going after our veterans. Why they're going after us as veterans. By design, our own government is behind it. And always has been since FDR. Obama's just another cog in the wheel. No different than Bush, Clinton, Reagan, Carter, Ford, LBJ, Nixon, every single one of them have been part of this. Placating the American public and lying on their State of the Union addresses. Everyone, I just want to listen to them. They're worthless. Every one of them. Every president. All of them. Republican, Democrat, it don't matter. They work together with the other world leaders in the secret society agenda. Chaos they present, order they bring. That's the formula called the Hegelian dialectic. They are liars. Revolution never works. Never has. But there's ways to deal with it. Dedicate the broadcast. Family, let's get moving. Lord, thank you today. Bring us together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray. I want to lift up to you this broadcast and my Bible studies, Lord, in your favor and your service. Lord, forgive me my sins. You guide me along, Lord. That through me, Father, you work as you do through others, Father, that render services to your Father, to your word. Father, we pray for our families. Father, all our families, all members of our families, we pray for them that, Father, that Holy Spirit will start touching hearts. We pray for those we come in contact with, Lord, the divine appointments, that you give us words to speak and the courage to speak out to witness to those about Jesus. Father, we call upon you to spread the word of these broadcasts, that, Father, others will hear this, whether it's by recordings or archives or passed on or shared or whatever, that, Lord, that it will lead one to the other, that people will become informed about what's going on. We know in Hosea, you say that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Lord, we call upon you to spread this knowledge. Father, we pray for our brethren, those that we pray for and before, Father, protection and healing. We do pray for them. Lord, we do pray that you'll convict us of those sins that we've not repented for, that any barriers that hold us back from answers to prayers, Father, you rend upon our hearts the what's holding back. Father, we do call upon you to bring us wisdom, discernment through the Holy Spirit to see these end times events as they unfold and get through the deception that's being provided by these churches. To exalt upon others the King James Bible, Lord, the true Word of God. To bring out those preachers, those clergy that are preaching the truth, to bring them up. And Father, we pray for those Freemasons. Lord, they'll have the courage to renounce these blood oaths they've taken. Go back to their families. Put away these lodges. And go back to their families to bring the Word of God to their families and not support these secret societies. Because all these secret societies, Lord, we know are of Satan. Father, we call upon you to bring this truth out. And to guide us along, Lord, as we preach the gospel, tell the truth, and inform people. That of those, Lord, that there'll be some saved. And Lord, we ask that you tear down, Lord, the protection by the Wicca and expose these Wicca for who they are in all forms of the government, the military, business industries, that those who do these rituals of the highest level of government, royalties, that you tear down their protection and expose them for who they really are. And the generations that have perpetrated this rebellion by Lucifer. And Father, even to those that you know the hearts, that you bind the Holy Spirit to the hearts that though are there, that are open, then lead them to Jesus, if that's at all possible, Lord. These things we pray in the name of your Son, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What's going on today is not simple. It's very complex. It's made such so people won't even endeavor to study it, learn about it. They just go about their daily routine business, tied down, tied up, and live, work, tend to their families, retire, and die. And hope for the best. Family, that hope for the best doesn't work. You got to secure. You secure your future with life insurance, right? Car insurance, life insurance, whatever insurance you got. Make sure your family's provided for when you die and all this, that, and the other. Inheritance, which you're trying to get rid of, by the way, New World Order. But all that's temporary. What about your eternal inheritance? It doesn't stop. You're hoping that there's no eternity, that you can do what you want to do in this world, that we created ourselves, or evolution, all that nonsense. Nothing can create something from nothing. It doesn't exist that way. The universe is not self-existing. There's too much order in it to have it self-existed. Mother Earth didn't create the universe. Holy Spirit's not feminine, like they're trying to tell you. To exalt mankind means to say that mankind's his own creator. It's not even logical, if you want to get logical about it. Everything physical in this world has vibrating particles, like ice. Why do you think ice melts? Because of the heat. Thermodynamics. Ice can't remain ice the whole time because the heat variation causes it to melt, the speeding molecules. You say, what are you talking about? Well, this world is temporary. It can't go forward by itself. That's why things rust, rots, is used up, consumed. It's the same thing as ice cubes. No, they just go quicker. But metal rots. You got a brand new Cadillac. Who cares? That Cadillac, in so many years down the road, is going to end up back to being something else. There's your reincarnation. A Cadillac melted down and become a Lamborghini, maybe. Who knows? Recycled metal. It rots, rusts. Well, you have mutations. Yeah, mutations. Mutations means it's missing something. It will not continuous species as a mutation. That's a lie coming from humanist colleges and schools, which I've proven many times over, all last week, actually. Everything is temporary in this world, in this, so there's a supernatural world that's ahead of you. You see, these churches out here, I had talked to you all, for example, mentioned many times, were to submit to government until the government causes us to sin against God. Then you say, oh, no, I'm not doing that, government. Stick up your wazoo, right? Following these orders, it's going to cause me to sin against God. I'll do everything else. These laws, don't walk on the sidewalk when you're spitting, no drive and drink, you know, and all that sort of thing. Laws made by man to present order. But when you give me orders, you give me laws that's going to sin against God, and I ain't going to do it. That's when you say no. Doesn't cause for rebellion to kill the individuals and blow up the post office or whatever, or a federal building. That's nonsense. But I don't submit to everything the government tells me to do if it goes against God and the Ten Commandments, or taking the mark of the beast, or some of that nature, or changing the laws that goes against God's commandments. No, I'm not going to do it. Matter of fact, I'm going to go against it. I'm going to march against it. Well, I don't march and stuff, but I'm going to speak out against it, do and so forth, if it goes against God's laws. Refuse to do it. Well, the churches now, controlled by the Council of Foreign Relations, controlled by the World Council of Churches, controlled by the National Council of Churches, clergymen, 25,000 plus, trained by FEMA. FEMA, by the way, the shadow government, along with the Council of Foreign Relations. FEMA was created after the creation of the Trilateral Commission. They're sneaky people, man. So the Trilateral Commission, 1973, Rockefeller and some of those wackos, they, Bushes, they're all the same. Satanists, Luciferian, Lucifer, Satan is the same. Jimmy Carter, the whole darn lot, pretending to be Christian, they're liars. They are liars. Frauds. They follow Lucifer, lying to the American public that they don't, but they do. They go to church for nothing, just to show their face. That's easy. By their own words, expose them. Their own actions, expose them. So the words and their actions are opposite. So the clergy today are being pulled in by the National Council of Churches, are controlled by the 501c3 tax-exempt status. It's not just a monetary benefit at all. That's the lure. The actual purpose of 501c3 is to control your church, is what Bible they'll use, what lessons they'll teach, what the pastor will say and won't say, what he will do and won't do, is controlled by the government through that coordination. They don't tell their board members that. You have secrets. Don't care who your preacher are. Your preacher is. Don't make any difference at all. Don't matter how many books he's written, how nice he is, and whether his wife makes great apple pie or not. Means nothing. That's just to hide. So the churches are now coming out to their followers, as I've said many times, ask them to submit to government. If you've got suspicious neighbors, conspiracy researchers, call 911 on them. That you do everything the government says, citing Romans 13. Well, that's not true. That's not all that Romans 13 says. No. You have to cite Romans 13 and Matthew. Render to Caesar, which is Caesar, but give to God, which is God's. They kind of leave that one out. Yeah, go along with the laws of the land. Laws of the land prevent anarchy. you don't have any laws and don't go by the laws, and you have anarchy. A feudal system of such. Gangs roaming around making their own rules up. Well, that's not good. So the other alternative, whether it's a good government or a bad government, is a government with laws. Then the people, according to the Bible, determine the laws by consensus. Long story short. Never been done, though. We're being placated by a constitution, placated by the thought of republic. We're really a plutocracy. A secret dictatorship, never revealed to the public, has always been in the background. Always has been. We've been placated with the Constitution, rendered null and void in 1938. I'm not going to get so much into that right now, but the point is that these churches are now coming out, and the preachers are saying, that are FEMA preachers, are saying, do everything the government tells you, and if you have a neighbor suspicious, you call 911 on him. And they use Romans 13. So the military, they got you. They had us. They train us. I was in Paris Island doing the training as a commander. I've been in the fleet, in the field, med cruises, overseas, seeking war as a commander. I've been recruiting duty, Buffalo, New York, 1978. I've been a recruiter. I've been in all facets of it. So agreeable that in my day, we're taught there's such a thing as illegal orders. Shooting unarmed civilians. In my day, if I was a lieutenant and a captain, I'd give an illegal order by a colonel or a general or a major or whatever. I'm not doing a legal order. I tell you. No, as a matter of fact, I'm going to report you. My commanding officer or not, it's an illegal order according to Geneva Conference. Geneva mentioned, and I'm going to report you, actually. See, today it's not being done. You're told to follow these illegal orders. They go against training, and they come back here all messed up. They're trained one way. They go over to Iraq and Afghanistan, killing women and children because they're told to, given lies, and then sometimes they have to. This started in Vietnam. Listen, by design, to go against our training, what we're made to do, we are fighting real enemies. But the enemies have been constructed, manufactured on the same side also. I proved yesterday that the intelligence agencies work together. All of them do, over the entire world. They all work together. Proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yesterday, I've talked to more than one person, and I just to bounce off of some folks, and they agreed. Yesterday, I effectively destroyed the U.S. overseas policy. Foreign policy was destroyed yesterday for 2 hours. You have no foreign policy. That's a lie from the pit of hell, CFR, White House. You lie. You coordinate with the popery, with the Illuminati in Europe, Royal Institute for National Affairs. Conspire with the other countries, including Russia and China, all work together, pretending not to. This is the reality of this world today. You, the public, are being lied to at the highest level. These are facts. This is not conspiracy theories whatsoever. Provable facts. So the military, we need to follow orders, as long as they're not illegal orders. Do you know that when I was in the Marines, even out of the Marines, I trained to kill. It was occupation. I mean, the teacher teaches and the Marine learns how to kill. What's the problem? You learn your skills. But I enjoyed teaching it. as realistic as possible, both in the Marines and out of the Marines, to defend oneself, firing, shooting at the range, and government contracting, teaching them how to fire. I'd set up my own programs and everything to have people protect themselves against bullies or so forth and so on. You have to have a certain attitude. You've got to teach things that people are not used to learning. One of the most personal ways to kill someone is to take a knife and jam it in a body and twist it and pull it out. Make sure they bleed. That's in the old days when you teach and how to cut somebody's throat. And that's personal, to say the least. You practice on a watermelon to jam it in and twist it and pull it out. That's ugly, isn't it? That's what it involves being. Very personal. It's different than setting off 100 meters or 25 meters and pulling a little trigger and a little bullet goes pow and splatters them open. Not as personal. It still kills. And the first person you kill will change you forever. Even breaking somebody's bones. I know this for a fact, that when you break somebody's bones, you hear a crack and hear the screams after. It has an effect on you. Killing someone has an eternal and long-lasting effect. There's two rites of passage in the military and actually in the law enforcement. Two rites of passage. One is your training. Marine Corps, it's boot camp. To get out of that civilian nonsense out of your head. And put 11 weeks of boot camp training, a shock, the moment you drive up in a bus, they drive you up in a bus at 4, 5 in the morning, and your whole world changes for 11 weeks. To shock your body into getting all the civilian garbage out of your head and trim off old fat boy into a lean, mean fight machine, etc., etc. 11 weeks, and they put you out, and uniform, your pride, and all this and all that, and then they send you to war. You have to change the whole mindset to be a killer. But to have pride, to have some sense of dignity about it, if you will, you just don't go out there and start killing off women and children. You don't massacre unarmed civilians. And killing someone up close and personal with a knife and jamming it in and twisting it and pulling it out is a lot of emotion. You have 4,000. Listen, when your life is really threatened, I don't care who you are. If you're a SEAL or you're Special Forces, you do have a little bit more control. Turn it on, you switch, you turn it off. But Marines, you have a certain mindset. But two rites of passage. One is boot camp. You got to go through boot camp to be a Marine. SEALs, that's obvious. And Force Recon and so forth. But boot camp. Boot camp. You got to go through Parris Island or San Diego. Quantico. You got to go through that rite of passage of, man, of just all kinds of stuff we put you through. I went in 1973. The old days. My drill instructor was a gunnery sergeant from Korea. He's retiring like several years after I was a candidate for an officer program. And they tried to weed you out as an officer back in those days, 73, 71, 72, 73, 74, because you were going to Vietnam. I'd volunteered. I wanted to go to Vietnam. I had already decided, man, when I get out of this training, I'm going to volunteer to go to Okinawa and go to Vietnam, kill me some commies for my country. That was the mind thinking back in the 70s. You see? Oh, yeah. Well, there's two rites of passage. One is the boot camp. You're accepted as a Marine and pass through it. But there's a second rite of passage, even among Marines, is combat. You're still accepted as a Marine when you're in uniform. You're out there in the fleet. But if you got the combat action ribbon, you're a step above the other Marines. Doesn't have one. When your life has been put on the line, and you survived, it's that pinging that goes over your head, the dirt that kicks up around you, the knowing that you're not just in the butts in the firing range, you're getting shot at and someone wants to kill you. So, now I go back to saying what I was saying a little while ago. No matter who you are, once you're in a situation and your life is threatened, don't matter who you are at this time, your whole body, once your mind perceives, this is real, I might die. It's called fight or flight. Don't matter who you are, your training helps you get through it. But everybody goes through it. A civilian will just freak out, you know, and then have the training. You just freeze, stop breathing. That's when I train them. I say, well, for civilians, you start breathing. You got to get your breathing back. You calm yourself down because you're going to die if you don't. And when you start holding your breath, you panic. Your mind, no oxygen. You can't think. So you're going to react instinctively the way you're trained, or if you're not trained, you're in big trouble. That's where martial arts comes in, or self-defense training for civilians and so forth. Well, here's the point. When your mind perceives yourself to be in a life and death situation where there's no referee, not training, your body goes through immediately. You can't stop it. 4,000 chemical changes all at once. Adrenaline rush is one. We've got 3,999 to go. All at one time, blood rushes to the main muscles. Oxygen is placed in your brain, but if you hold your breath, you don't have any. And all kinds of things going on in your body. That's why if you survive the situation, you start vomiting, you start getting sick, you are drained because the adrenaline, the chemicals in your body just completely wipe you out. That's why you have to train. Okay, now here's my main point. This is not normal. In Iraq and Afghanistan, I know that there were commanders that were told to give their troops 4 days of a 96 pass if they were to kill any combatant with a knife. If you can confirm it, that you killed this combatant with a knife, we'll give you 4 days off. Now, what kind of nonsense is that? Killing one with a knife and you hand-to-hand, understandable. But to give a reward for it, and knowing that they want to get out of there, you're going to find them looking for someone to kill with a knife. That's what happened. Oh, that's one of many things. Now, here's my next point. To kill someone with a knife is very, shall we say, personal. The post-traumatic stress will be enhanced. It will be magnified. Because when you take a life, they're taught, rather they're not taught, the impact of taking the first life. Some cops may be in the force for 15 years and never had to shoot anybody. Some cop may be on for 6 months and have to kill someone. It will change their life forever. Killing another human being isn't what TV is made out to be. I know when you render someone unconscious or you break a bone, you're like, darn, should I have done that? You know, you're like, well, you try to justify it in your mind that you were justified in doing it. So now taking a life, that Holy Spirit is going to come at you. So you got to justify it in your mind. So the second one will be easier, or you're just going to quit the force. I can't deal with this. I don't want to have to do this again because I didn't expect it. Shooting a target is one thing. Killing someone and watching them die and bleed out there is another thing. breaking somebody's bone, listen to them scream and yell, roll around the floor and all that, is something else too. You try to justify it in your mind. But you did the right thing. That means something's pinging on your heart that you may have messed up. If you're abused to your wife, you're beating her, and they don't bother you, man, something's wrong with you. Something is bad wrong with you. If you commit adultery, I can tell you, you try to justify it in your mind. I'm unhappily married. If she wouldn't run her mouth so much. You make up stupid excuses. Because that Holy Spirit is convicting you like you were a pincushion. And you got to find a way to get rid of those pricks, those needles sticking you. So you got to justify it in your mind. If you don't feel anything, and the things you do bad to other people, and you don't feel nothing, you better start worrying. That's why when you repent of these sins, and you truly repent, that's going to take you to your knees. The Holy Spirit's going to pound you. But that's a good thing. I know this. When you're sorry for the things you did. So when these Marines and these veterans come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, they got to put the stuff away. They got to hide it because nobody here is going to understand it. Even other Marines or other vets that's never been overseas and killed still won't understand it. You see what they're going through? Now, to get these soldiers, these Marines, to follow illegal orders, you got drugs, vaccines, microchips, all kinds of ways. So when they come back here, they come back damaged. I've laid the groundwork now for the past 39 minutes. I'm going to continue a little bit longer, and I'm going to get in the nitty-gritty. Right down to some statistics, names, dates, times, people, places, instances, everything, details. All week long, I'm going to talk about this. This is how detailed it is. I talked about humanism in the schools. How they raised you from a child. From 5 years old to 18, college, military, whatever. Has always been humanism. It's always been. Your teachers are taught this. The teachers are taught this. They're taught to teach you the humanist mindset. That's a fact, and we didn't even know it. So boot camp then becomes easier. And the video games conditions your child to kill indiscriminately and get points for it. Those video games, the rock and roll music, the drugs, humanist training in schools, all this combined gets them all ready for 18 years old. Gets them all ready to go overseas and fight and kill. Come back, no problem. You got the idea now. Sort of. Now, let me give you, if I can here, an example to show you up close and personal, which kind of just came to my mind, but what I'm talking about. And see, now bear with me here. If I can find what I'm looking for. I may not find it this trip. But I have actual recordings of actual combat situations that's come back and will show you how this is applied over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Has been worked out. And the assassination of Chris Kyle is a good example. Because they used a prop, a former veteran, controlled, probably brainwashed with drugs, to assassinate Chris Kyle because they didn't want him going to court for that Ventura individual. Other things that probably come out in that book, they want to keep him silent like they did Pat Tillman. What's going on today would absolutely boggle your mind if you knew the attack, the assault upon American veterans that's going on today by design. Now, I seem a little hesitant because I'm sort of right now searching out this video I want you to hear. I hadn't planned on using it, but I wanted you to hear it. And if I can, I'll find it a little later. About how they're controlling us. And they're targeting our veterans. So they will not be a barrier in the New World Order, which is quickly coming of age. It's on its way. And they've trained us really well, actually. And they knew that. This was part of the plan. And they knew they'd have to take us down after 1945. It's all set up that way. It's not accidental. It's all set up. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I want you all to know that the New World Order is real. By their own mouth. And for you to hear their actual words coming from them. All right, for example, we'll go
out
the part that we haven't played. And you can hear it from their own words.
And hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
During the conflict with Saddam Hussein, which he handled so superbly in a short-term sense, because it's about a new world order. And then President Bush, at the end of that war, promised he would give four graduation addresses, four commencement addresses, describing that new world order and what America's role was going to be in it. Turned out he gave one of those addresses and canceled the other three and talked about something else. That's why, because they weren't.
And this present window of opportunity, during which a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built, will not be here for open for too long.
You believe deeply in your system, and we believe just as deeply in our system. It is not our common beliefs that have brought us together here, but our common interests and our common hopes. The interest that each of us has to maintain our independence and the security of our peoples, and the hope that each of us has to build a new world order in which nations and peoples with different systems and different values can live together in peace, respecting one another while disagreeing with one another. letting history rather than the battlefield be the judge.
It's past the point of talking. We know historically that the global governance agenda to these issues is very hard to try and, is with all the best intentions, it's very hard to actually activate. We're seeing that right now. We're seeing a lot of fragmentation going on in Copenhagen, a lot of different agendas pulling in different directions.
The closest we came to the dream was when we were doing THX and everybody was writing their scripts. Everybody was hanging out at the pool table drinking cappuccinos and waxing philosophically about the New World Order and everything.
Type 1 civilization is a connected civilization, a single global culture, a single global language, global communication, global politics. We see this beginning. We see it emerging all around us. The European countries are binding together slowly, forming the EU. NAFTA has been formed in North America. Eventually, we will see the rise of a single world government. We will see a single economy.
2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet. Our mission, our presidency, is one of hope, supported by acts and by deeds.
Leaders come together and establish a framework for global governance, not a world government, but sensible governance. These measures are enacted, and we continue to move forward with the G20 process. We will have the kind of global governance that is necessary to ensure the stability and transparency of markets in a way that gives us the benefits of a globalized market economy without the enormous risks that...
Standing there with my people, they were bombed, and I was just target like them, and as elected president, officially in charge of their protection, I couldn't do anything about it. But the point here is, it's not about me, it's about the idea of freedom. It's about the future of the whole region. It's about the future of Europe and a new world order.
The Transatlantic Partnership was never just the foundation of our security. It was the foundation of our way of life. It was forged in experience of the most bitter and anguished kind. Out of it came a new Europe, a new world order, a new consensus as to how life should and could be lived. The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
I think the new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation. We have resolved that from today we will together manage the process of globalization to secure responsibility from all and fairness to all. And we've agreed that in doing so, we will build a more sustainable and more open and a fairer global society.
All these new challenges are bringing together about the biggest restructuring we have ever seen, not just of the global economy, but of the global order as a whole. And 200 years ago, a famous British foreign secretary said that the new world had been called into existence to redress the balance of the old. In 1990, another old world ended, dominated by the Cold War, and people talked then, in 1990, of a new world order. What they actually meant then was a new political order. And what was not foreseen then, but is obvious now from everything that we see and do, what we experience in every day of our life, is the sheer scale and speed and scope of globalization. And it's only now that we can begin to understand that the world order that globalization brings and what it's going to look like, it's driven forward now not just by the balance of military strength, the Cold War times, or ordinary political power. It's being driven forward by a seismic shift in economic power that we see around us. But what does the new world order mean for countries like ours who are looking to succeed? I suggest that the countries that are going to succeed are those that combine flexibility, free trade, open markets, with proper stewardship of the environment and investment in education, infrastructure and innovation. And the question for us is how we meet and master all these challenges to ensure Britain enhances its competitiveness in the process and realises what I believe is our destiny of success in this new world order. So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges for the future. But today, with Asia already outproducing Europe, India and China are clearly becoming part of our new order.
The world that maybe some people dreamt of at that conference back in Bournemouth, when it looked as if maybe history would end, that liberal democracy would triumph, that free market economics would slowly progress, and we'd have a new world order.
Tim, what do you think America's place in the new world order should be? It's always been seen as the global policeman. But as you said before, you know, it's hard to see with all these military conflicts where the winner and loser lies. What should America be doing globally?
I think the global policeman should be the United Nations.
What sort of a financial deal should Obama be seeking to strike when he travels to China next month?
No, I think this would be the time, because you really need to bring China into the creation of a new world order, financial world order.
What do you think the most important thing is for Barack Obama? Obviously, you're here to talk about the anniversary for U.S.-China diplomatic relations, but if you had to say this is going to be the country or the conflict or the place that will define the Obama administration, what would it be?
The president-elect is coming into office at a moment when there are upheavals in many parts of the world simultaneously. You have India, Pakistan, the jihadist movement. So he can't really say there is one problem, that it's the most important one. But he can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period, when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis. There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Kissinger.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create
the Vice President.
A new world order. Because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened.
The way we're going to win over the long term is not just militarily. We've got to win over hearts and minds. And what that means is we've got to invest in countries that have no educational infrastructure, have no means for young people to get ahead. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
No. I mean, there is a conflict about what the mission is. The United States says that Gaddafi must go. Members of the coalition say this is strictly a humanitarian mission. How can the coalition work together when they can't agree on what the goals are?
March 4th, 1939. FDR, no different. He said behind closed doors, in front of three congressional committees and witnesses, never to be revealed to the public. He said, and I quote, "I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I'm putting my people, Illuminati, head of all instruments, that's American people. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. Out of hell with American people, as far as the democracy is concerned, it doesn't exist. It never did, we'll never let it happen that way, and I'm going to crush business. Now listen, infest America with all the aliens possible. In the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program." Unquote. Red Fog of America, 1955, William G. Carr. That copy of that quote was sent to him by mail by Senator Lundeen, who attended that behind-doors meeting with the president. He was one of the three congressional committees that heard that. That's a real FDR. Representative of every president we've had. From that date on, They had planned a military dictatorship in America by 1943. Churchill, Adolf Hitler, FDR, Japanese elite, Mussolini, family were all working together for a six-phase program, a six-phase operation to bring a world dictatorship. And the map is already, there's a map that shows you the 10 unions of the world in 1943. So, for example, and it's already proved out. Yesterday, the Bonus Army, I played you the actual report of it. Our own military ordered to fight against our own military that were veterans of World War I. It happened. Kent State, troops fired American students. It happened. Bundy Ranch, you're going against each other. Civil War back in 1860. It happened, and it happened. Soros funded Occupy Wall Street. Soros funded the marches in Ferguson. It happened. Family, y'all better wake up about what's really going on. Veterans, you're being lied to. By your commanders, who are Knights of Malta members, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, don't matter who they are, Wesley Clark and General Boykin, they're all members of secret societies. They are against you. They're liars when they say they're patriots. They are not. They work for the secret societies, which is setting up the New World Order. You may have been a friend or a fellow officer back in staff, Command Staff College back when, but when they became a Knight of Malta member or Knights of Columbus member, they no longer the same one you knew. They're now different. The plan was, for example, in World War II, in six phases, Hitler and Churchill working together. After all, they were second cousins, by the way. And the fact remains that Churchill was responsible for the death and murder of 1,201 lives aboard the Lusitania. That's confirmed by historical accounts. He was the one that caused them, pulled off the escort so they'd be a set and duck for three German U-boats to take down Lusitania. Why? As a false flag to justify and anger the public in America and Europe to go to war. You got to have a reason to bring them to war. A family unit to something to fight for. A flag to defend. And you got them going. Goebbels talked about this. Same thing happened with the Germans. Except this world government. It's a fact. So the idea was that at that time, just like you had a military coup planned in the United States, General Butler, we played that yesterday, in his own testimony, confirmed. He was to take military veterans, World War I veterans, 500,000 of them, and take over government policy, government, the government means, in 1933-34. Confirmed by congressional committee. But he blew the whistle. He didn't carry through with it. This is documented history. It's a fact. So when you put it all together, FDR confirms he's going to use the military to establish dictatorship. So that meant that in the sixth phase of World War II, that never happened, but was planned, Hitler would cross the Atlantic after he took Britain and France in the fifth phase, working with Churchill. The map was already drawn up. He's going to launch an attack into, unopposed, into Nova Scotia, cross over mid-Canada, and come south, split the United States in half. Unopposed, because you'd have had a military dictatorship they'd planned. Simultaneously, 1941, Yamamoto, who had worked with FDR, the Rockefellers, Churchill. See, Yamamoto went to Harvard in the 1920s. And he went back carrying the plans to the Japanese elite, Mitsui, they call them. And Pearl Harbor was to tick us off. We'd support a war. But dictatorship would have been established by the time Yamamoto had taken over Pearl Harbor and then moved on into the West Coast. Folks around there in other places had thwarted this plan. Hitler went to the Russians instead and started fighting them. Yamamoto called off his attack. And they didn't get their dictatorship in America. It all fell apart. See, God's in control. This was planned. This is all documented. You have to put it together. And they've always planned on using American veterans against American citizens to establish a dictatorship, 1940s, 1960s, 1972 with Nixon, 1984 with Reagan, 1999. And all of them failed to happen, but they planned each one. These are facts. They realized in 1993 they cannot trust the American veterans to fight against American citizens. They even did a questionnaire in Twin Palms, California in 1993 with 1,000 Marines. A questionnaire, they were saying, would you fight with UN? Would you shoot American citizens? It had 40 questions. I got a copy of the questionnaire, by the way. And they realized it's not going to work. So they brought UN forces over since 1993 to 95. Thanks to Carter, Rockefeller, Clinton. A national police force is planned. Oh, we're going all the way back to Clinton. Family, this is what's really going on, and people are not connecting the dots. Now, so the U.S. veteran is a problem for them. So they have to reduce the influence of the U.S. veterans that would step in the way. And that's what's going on today, is to eliminate American veterans. Now, what I'd mentioned, how they control American veterans. Now, I've played this before. I'm going to play it again. And this should give you some idea of the technology, methodology by which they're going to use and have been using to control our veterans. Just one way.
Brain-machine interfaces. A technology that marks the beginnings of a new kind of man, the cyborg, the robot man. Neuro-robotic technology can be applied in different directions. The brain controlling the machine, or, inversely, the machine controlling the brain.
So we're just going to go through each one of these arms.
They're using a rat.
One, two, three.
With brain implants.
Five, six. Let's do all of those. And how this goes.
Now, before I continue with this, and you can hear it, you can't see it, but you can hear it, there's a lawsuit going on now. 7,800 veterans since 2010 were suing the U.S. government, CIA, DOD, for septal, that's nose, septal implants that they discovered in their noses of microchips. So, this is not something from Star Wars. This is actually happening.
But a third option is also possible. One brain controlling another brain via the interface. how does this work in the case of the robot rat? All you need, in fact, are three well-positioned electrodes. Two electrodes in the sensory cortex of the rat send stimuli to the zones connected to its whiskers. When the rat follows the signal sent to its left side and turns in that direction, it is rewarded with a discharge into its pleasure zone. This discharge produces a flow of dopamine, providing instant pleasure. This zone is also called the brain's reward center. We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. In the process of creating a cyborg, this is square one. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement. In Boston, the first machine-brain interface trials have already been conducted on paraplegic patients. Thanks to an electrode chip called the Brain Gate, they can operate a computer remotely by thought. So it's no coincidence that these researches are partly funded by DARPA, the U.S.'s Defense Research Agency. Neuroscience will bring us the soldier of the future.
This is a new deal, gentlemen.
Enemy center of gravity is downtown.
Just get a good view from here.
A remote-controlled soldier? A soldier who, in the midst of a battle, can be sent crucial data and information downloaded into his brain? A soldier who can control his fears?
Remote-controlled soldiers. Here we go. Actual footage.
Yeah. Dude, look at me. People all.
Dude, those two people.
You said, who pulled up in the white car? I shot that dude in the white car, ran in.
Oh, yes. You're going to get it. Yes, naughty little boys. Yes. 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 Yes.
We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement.
You little shoot at us! You little die!
We are going to reach a level of control. The more we learn about the brain, the more researchers discover how little our consciousness and will control our choices and behaviors. Our way of living might be completely transformed by the convergence of neuroscience, genetics, and nanotechnology.
That's the reality. There are only lawsuits going on about that now. All they got to do is voice the skull technology. While your husband sleeps, they can talk to his mind through technology, microwave transmissions, through the planet devices. They're very tiny. They can be implanted by vaccines called nanobot technology. They go through the bloodstream and stop in the brain cortex. Don't have to have an operation. Or they go to the VA center, and while they're under for a nose operation or whatever else, they implant it. You've got two sides of the VA, good people and bad people. You got some good doctors, you got some bad doctors. That's the way it is. The murder suicides are being caused. The plan to enhance and exacerbate the post-traumatic stress already induced was to render our veterans coming back as pretty much nullify them as any kind of resistance to a new world order. Because they know they will be resistance. One of the reasons why they got rid of Chris Kyle, because he was a Christian. He was not going to fulfill their agenda like Pat Tillman was not. They went opposite of the direction they wanted them to go. He's also going up to a lawsuit with Ventura. It would have made Ventura look bad. Naturally, that's not hard to do. Frauds like that are used by the Illuminati and Freemasons to format their agenda. So they put them on TV. They make them governors, presidents, actors, spokesmen, spokeswomen too. After they become some actor, actress, or whatever, or professional wrestler, or whatever, that they're going to contract Illuminati, Freemasons, blood sports, they call them, to become heroes, which they're not. And they use them not only to influence your children, but to influence public opinion. And this ridiculous show, scripted out, that true conspiracy, whatever, like the Ventura guy did, which is utterly nonsense, scripted out, word for word, to make it look like they're actual patriots, and they're not. Well, Chris Kyle had to go, because he was not following their agenda. He is a true American hero. You say, oh, now wait a minute, he shot kids. Well, family, you're not there. That was the purpose of the movie, was to show that part, so then when the movie was done, I don't think Miss Kyle knows that they were being used. Clint Eastwood is a Freemason. Clint Eastwood is as dirty as John Wayne was, Audie Murphy, the rest of them, to foment that wars during Vietnam, World War II, they're already pre-planned. I get evidence for that. So they had to do a movie in order to attack Chris Kyle and his testimony. Notice in the very opening scene, he shoots a child and shoots a woman dressed like a nun. They will kill you just as quick as a man will. However, the purpose of it was to then take the humanist trained population today the opposite. So they could take pot shots at Chris Kyle. It's done opposite, not for him, but the reality, Hollywood did it to work against him. I don't think they understand the purpose of Hollywood. Let's take pot shots at Chris Kyle. So they go over with the right attitude. You're trained to protect your country, protect your family. That's why they want to get rid of the family unit, which has started in 1950. Feminist movement was contracted by the CIA. Gloria Steinem and MS Magazine was funded by CIA. Feminist movement, same-sex, homosexual interest in the military, all this was designed to break up the military forces. I've got evidence of all this. Apply affirmative action. Ruth Bader Ginsburg submitted a report to the Civil Rights Commission, her previous court opinions, that set this up. I got a copy of the report. To bring women to frontline units. Women to frontline units side by side with the Marines. They've got a unit now, unless it's last year, training women, hand-to-hand combat, to go up against men. That's not going to work. And the Joint Chief of Staff, they know it. because they want to take down and split up our military forces, and it's worked perfectly. And nobody's doing a thing about it. Do you want chief of staff? If taken off their ribbons, they become nothing more than secret society members working for Lucifer. Their rank now means nothing. Their authority means nothing. Because they belong to a satanic organization briefing the Council of Foreign Relations. That means their whole military career was wasted. And their whole lives were a lie. They turned their back on humanity. Project Shed, SHAD, secret shots given to U.S. soldiers. American servicemen, again, used as guinea pigs. Project Shed was acronym for Shipboard Hazard and Defense. A joint service chemical biological warfare test program during the 1960s. Encompassed tests designed to identify U.S. warships' vulnerabilities to attacks with chemical biological warfare agents to develop procedures to respond to these attacks while maintaining a war-fighting capability. Classified, the Department of Defense had been pursuing this declassification of these medical information. They had 12 shared projects evaluated and released for review of the general public. The tests were never actually executed. They said that they planned to look at all the test centers' chemical biological tests conducted between 1963 and 1970. Troops were used, 4,300 sailors known to be involved. Only 62 were identified in several reports, given vaccinations, subjected to all kinds of tests secretly. There's a whole story about it. They always knew they were going to take us down, our own government, working with the Vatican, working with the Jesuits, working with the Illuminati. This is real. This is not some conspiracy theory thing. This is conspiracy research. That's true research. That's why I played those recordings of actual quotes to show you. That was only half of a video that I have about that. Now, the way they're doing it now, many different ways, one is suicides. Suicides, I submit to you, are being orchestrated. The troops are profiled. Not all of them will do it. Will respond to the suicide conditioning and so forth. But they have a program since 2006 that was designed to help study, and they had hoped to curtail the actual suicides, reduce the number. But here's the problem. Problem is, the leader of it is Paul Rykoff, former veteran. Paul Rykoff was a member, is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He's a member of the enemy, working to curb the suicides that are going on today. Is equivalent to the big bad wolf being the advocate for the three little pigs. Or for the cow being elected to speak for the chicken. You understand? The enemy has infiltrated. And they've actually increased from 18 suicides per day, 2006 and 7, to 26 per day, possibly more. On a regular basis. I say is not working. For example,
stressed by war and long tours overseas, U.S. soldiers killed themselves at record high rates last year. Here to talk more about this is Paul Rykoff. He's the executive director and founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Paul, nice to see you. Unfortunately, the topic is terrible. These numbers were released by the U.S. Army yesterday. Let's go ahead and put some of them on the screen real quick, and then we'll talk about it here. As you can see there, 128 soldiers confirmed committing suicide this year, 2008, I should say, and then there's another 15 that are suspected. They're still pending. When you go all the way back to 2004, in fact, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, those numbers have doubled?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Heidi. They've doubled in about 4 years.
Now, the figures are just the Army, and the figures are not correct. You have 8,000 per year suicides, 26 per day, 18 per day. So these figures are not accurate on the TV, CNN, I might add.
So this is a really disturbing trend. The number continues to go upward. And if you look at the facts on the ground, you can see why. They're doing repeated tours. You've got more than 500,000 folks who've been there more than once. You've got family stresses back home. Now you've got the economic situation. Mortgage foreclosure rates around military rates of military cases are higher than the national average, much higher. And you've got a very, very tough war zone. So all this comes together with an inadequate screening program and not enough mental health support. And these numbers are continuing to rise, unfortunately.
In fact, there's another disturbing one, too, that we talk about. Apparently, for the first time since the Vietnam War, the amount of soldiers committing suicide is actually higher than the civilian rate.
Yeah, that's right. And you've got to take into account that civilians aren't pre-screened for mental health disorders. They're generally less healthy physically. They don't have health coverage. So this is an even higher number. And this doesn't take into account other branches, the Marine Corps, the Navy, and folks who've left the military. There are many veterans who will come home, leave the military system, and unfortunately take their own lives. So this is really the tip of a much larger iceberg and a much larger problem.
Yeah, and there's two things to talk about here, if you ask me. And one of them is what sort of care the military offers, and then exactly what you just mentioned, what sort of care the veteran gets with regard to psychological treatment. And we are talking about PTSD here most times.
That's right. About 1 in 4, 1 in 5 folks coming home are going to have traumatic stress disorder, severe depression. They're also facing alcohol and drug abuse problems, marital problems. So the scope is pretty broad. The Army is stepping up efforts. They've made a call for increases to mental health hiring. They actually said on a conference call yesterday, we need more folks to work in mental health at the Army. We need the President involved. We need Congress involved. If we lost 128 soldiers to an enemy weapon, that the country would be in outrage. So we really got to address it with the same kind of urgency and mobilize the country to take care of our folks in harm's way.
And one of those things that you can do is raise awareness, of course. I want to take a moment to show one of these new ads that's out with the Ad Council. Let's take a look.
Shows an ad of a soldier arriving in a city that's deserted. He's by himself. He looks around. Somebody comes up to him, shakes his hand, and then a lot of people show up. It's just kind of a heartwarming kind of thing. But
you know, it gets me choked up every time I see it. I haven't seen it several times on television. Is something like that enough? I know there's also the National Intrepid Center of Excellence that is being built in Bethesda. I mean, they are going to be talking and working with traumatic brain injury as well as post-traumatic stress disorder. That's private money, though. I mean, where is the emphasis? Where should it be? Should it be from the VA, the DOD, or does it need to be coming from private civilians?
Honestly, Heidi, it's got to be all those things working in concert together. Our program with the Ad Council is designed to reach out to those veterans, get them support, get them involved. There's an online component, so if you're a soldier or a veteran or a family member in need of help, go to communityofveterans.org. We've set that site up. But the Intrepid Center is also going to be critical. It's something like a $60, $70 million facility in Bethesda. It'll be the premier traumatic injury and post-traumatic stress disorder research and care facility in the country, but it is private money, and they need money. So if folks want to help, donate to the Fisher House, help them get the research and treatment that these folks need so badly.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is changing the culture and making
absolutely
sure that these men and women know that it's okay and acceptable to go and get the help that they obviously desperately need. Paul Rykoff, we sure do appreciate your time here today on this disturbing report. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Heidi.
I've played video before of Anthony Sutton, his speech with Prophet, lady that interviews him about psychotropic drugs, talking about drugs and psychotronic weaponry. I'm reminded that 68,000 died in Vietnam since 1975, 100,000 from suicide, total of 168,000 dead. A study from 1975 2012 was 100,000 Vietnam veterans committed suicide. And notice in Vietnam was when they started using children as combatants in various ways from then on. Also, they don't talk about it in that video just recently. I just played this a few minutes ago that starting in Vietnam, when the troops would come off the planes to come back home, they were spit on, baby killers, etc. Family, they were all trained to do that. The civilians that did that were trained to do it on purpose, to not welcome them back, to spit upon them and so forth, to enhance that post-traumatic stress, because it begins when you get off the plane and you're not welcomed for what you did over there. They really went over there believing they're going to fight communists. It gave purpose for it. And it was, because they were there defending themselves. And you noticed even Chris Kyle, as a sniper, he thought he was doing the right thing. He was protecting his troops. But then the movie takes a different turn, and the public today takes a different turn of a humanist approach to say, you're baby killers, you're killing children. Man, they're not over there. They don't realize. Those like on TV, all of them on TV, the talk shows, are frauds. Every one of them. O'Reilly, Limbaugh, the whole lot of them are controlled by the Council of Foreign Relations. Controls every media throughout the United States. All the TV, Fox, CNN, all of them. Since 1915, J.P. Morgan bought out 25 major newspapers. That's where the start of it. Assigned editors to each of the newspapers in the United States. He bought them out, all of them. 1915. And from then on, they assigned editors to 1921. Rockefellers took over through the Council of Foreign Relations and controls from then on all media. The Chicago Tribune in 1950s allowed some articles to get through that were good, were honest, and they took control of that in 1960s. They made sure it didn't happen again. That's the reality. It's controlling our troops through implanted brain, RFID chips, psychotronic weapons, and behavior modification. Guinea pigs, implanted devices. Now tomorrow, I have listed, and the rest of the week, a whole list of what they've done. And the factors they've used. I'm going to talk about individual ones. I got 30 more minutes to go. I got plenty more to talk about. But tomorrow I'm going to talk specifics even more. And this goes back to even high school, to college, to boot camp, to overseas. A conspiracy is so vast. It's so evil. But there's a way to combat it. It starts at your home. It starts with your prayer life with Jesus Christ. That is the bottom line. It talks about getting together as citizens and going after your congressman, tying up his computers with letters, petitions. Your schools, making the schools and the churches that use King James Bible. Your preachers are lying to you. I don't care who they are. send them my way if you want to. If they're using any other Bible, it is corrupted. That's a fact. And not one of your preachers out there, don't matter who it is, Perry Stone or the others, it don't matter who it is. No exception. They're members of this infiltration of your churches, every one of them are. The churches were infiltrated in 1887. Schools, 1908. The military started the takedown in 1950. Your troops were targeted. Women in frontline units. It was recommended in 1977 by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The equipment was substandard in many cases. I know for a fact, when I was in 1975, for example. See, our tanks in World War II did not match up to the Panzers. Why? We're not supposed to win, that's why. Why did we bring over 10,000 Nazis to America? Why? After 1945. Why? Von Braun for the space program and psychological warfare. We brought the Nazis over here. Operation Paperclip. 10,000 of them to be exact, including Hitler. Why? Had to do with the New World Order, that's why. Our T-35s did not match up to the Panzers. I know when I was in the Marine Corps, 1975 to 76, 77, I was there until 1987, but they brought in this M-202 multi-flame launcher. Had four missiles in it. It was a square device that sit on your shoulder, and you pull a trigger, and one of the missiles would fire out. It was for a flamethrower, filled with napalm or something, to take the place of the flamethrower in Vietnam. Family, one in three of those didn't even work. You pull the trigger, click, oh, you had to set it down nice and easy because it'd go off any time. You didn't know. They quit using them. We got sold bill of goods. The Beretta took the place of the .45. The first 1,000 rounds, after 1,000 rounds, the slide kept breaking. They had to get those redone. I know in Iraq, the first war in Iraq, our chemical detectors were made substandard. The Soviet bloc countries, the Eastern bloc countries, those worked really well. Czechoslovakia, I got reports. Ours didn't. So theirs are going off, and ours is not. So our troops were receiving low-level nerve agent and not knowing about it. So that, and the commander said, I don't worry about it. They're just going off, and we got to fix that. They're lying. The Gulf War syndrome was a created virus like HIV and Ebola from a laboratory for Detroit, Maryland, was the cause of the Gulf War syndrome. I know for a fact, in Vietnam, they used the Agent Orange barrels, when they were empty, as shower heads. They had a troop pouring water in the heated water into the barrel of the Monsanto Agent Orange barrel, and the troop below was getting these showers. They made sure our troops got cancer. That was the purpose of Monsanto. And Agent Orange back in the 60s was to make sure our troops got cancer. That was the purpose of it. The lie was defoliage. Not so. Y'all see the path? I'm pro-American. I'm American. But I'm also pro-truth. And I'm tired of this, darn it. People lying, not telling the whole truth. It's not right. And it starts with our Joint Chief of Staff, who's members of the secret societies. Islam is a created, manufactured enemy. The real enemy are your secret societies and the Joint Chief of Staff and the Council of Foreign Relations that works with the European equivalent. Bet you never heard that too many times, huh? What other way is they doing it besides substandard equipment? I venture to say that if we have to go to war, another prefab manufactured war, let me just safely say my opinion is, based on certain things I know, some of the guidance systems and fast mover aircraft just might be controlled by China, which means it'll be ineffective in a prefab war. And our own country would have to set that up, by the way. So China has over 290 foreign trade zones in America. They got to protect their investments, you know. That's allowed by our own government, let them in. So when they say we have World War III with China and Russia against NATO and U.S., it's a fraud. It's set up. Will people die? Sure. It's all part of the New World Order play act. The rules of engagements, conflict with their training, vaccines, humanism being taught to disregard human life is being taught in the schools. I've talked about that all last week. So you get troops today that are 18, 19, 21, 25. That's based on the humanist mindset from high school and college. Makes it easier for the U.S. military to take over and control U.S. citizens. Oh, they're good. They're sneaky. You didn't have that in the 50s and 60s and 70s. You had sovereignty. You had family unit. You had Protect America and all that. Well, they had to get rid of that. So humanism took a grand leap in the 80s and 90s to work on the soldiers of today that they would not have that same mindset. Made it easier for a troop then to control American citizens. This is a big plan, family. Same-sex marriage, homosexuals in the military, work in partnership, Clinton and Obama, 20 years, 30 years apart. Clinton, don't ask, don't tell. Obama, now you can tell. That definitely split up the military. 15,000. Sexual assaults. Study 2012 of male on male in the military. 15,000 sexual assaults. You think that might split up and cause problems in the male barracks? I'd say it would. Affirmative action, equal number of men and women, put women on frontline units, that would weaken it also. Lesbian circles of influence, I know strong Paris Island, San Diego and Washington in the Marine Corps. Wiccans in the military, Fort Hood is a good example. Psychotropic drugs, psychotronic weapons, behavior modification, enhancing post-traumatic stress, and the voice-to-skull technology. They hear voices. They're told, well, you're kind of losing it. You know, it's supposed to make stress, man. It's your imagination. No, it's not imagination. It's microwave technology. They're actual voices. Actually, Walmart uses it in their advertisements in some stores, by the way, where electronic, a microwave beam transmit just like a laser would transmit sound. Straight into the cortex of the brain, the part of the brain that transmits or identifies a voice. It bypasses the eardrum. Goes directly to the brain. The microchip enhances it. And your voice is in your head, but same thing as hearing something with sound. But it bypasses the sound. With microwave technology, it goes straight to the center of the brain that translates it. So you don't need the sound. You don't need the ears. It's just microwave technology. It's all it is. So it's not the Marine or the Air Army post-traumatic stress. It's technology. So certain ones can be hypnotized. Add the drugs to it, you get yourself a murder-suicide. Very easily. 1966, State Department sent a memorandum out to the defense contractors, 1966, that forbid any of the defense contractors from boycotting the Soviet bloc countries that were helping the VC, Viet Cong. So it was against American policy if you boycott these countries. I've got the word for word on the pamphlet. I don't have the pamphlet, but I got word for word if it came from the pamphlet. Well, as a result of that pamphlet in 1966, that same year, industrialists, contractor, sent the exact specifications of a glycerol factory to Russia. Russia built the glycerol factory in the 60s, produced glycerol, and besides equipment and weapons and whatever coming from Russia to the VC, Viet Cong, they provided glycerol. Glycerol was used as a detonator in the booby traps. We provided the specifications for the factory. Russia's designed it, created it, or not designed it, but created it, built it, provided glycerol to the VC. That accounted for one half of our casualties of all of Vietnam was booby traps. Agent Orange, start the cancer. Drugs coming back. Drugs over there. Drugs being brought back from Vietnam like they are Afghanistan and Afghanistan. Vietnam, South America, between 1950s to 1980s and 90s. Bushes and Clintons know all about it. This is what's really going on. Depleted uranium on the tanks and rounds. He said what they didn't tell him was when the rounds strike hard object, it activates reactivity. When the tanks that had 100 tanks had depleted uranium shells or hit by weapons, it activates the reactivity. When they touch them, they get cancer. Any questions? They didn't tell them that. Gulf War syndrome was created. That's just scratching the surface of the veterans' genocide that's going on today. And nobody's doing nothing about it. Sometimes I contain myself even on the air. But I'm going to tell you, it just torques my jaw for a bit that people can be that cold at Joint Chief of Staff and Congress and the CEOs. They can take these blood oaths. It kind of fires me up a little bit. And all you got to do is right now, or when after the broadcast, look up the oath for the Knights of Malta, oath for the Knights of Columbus, oath for the Rhodes Scholars. Read the dirt oath. That's the oath they take. Then you look up, if you dare, a general list of the members of the Knights of Malta, Council of Foreign Relations, and look at the generals and the admirals that's members. Look at the Republicans and Democrats that are members. The CEOs, ambassadors, Joint Chief of Staff that are members of the enemy that's responsible for the death of your soldiers and Marines when they get back from war. Can I be more clear than that? I don't have to be more clear than that. But make sure you sit on your hands, watch TV, and go play golf at Hilton Head. Maybe just all just go away. Well, I got news for you. It's not going to. It's just going to get worse. Till you put the hot seat on your congressman and your military commanders, it's not members. You put the hot seat. Oh, I know you got the fitness report and all that. They cowardly sit behind them and warn you and threaten you and so forth. They turn from being military heroes to military cowards because they signed a blood oath to these organizations. They no longer are part of the military. It don't matter what medal they have. It doesn't count. They've lost it. They wasted all their years by becoming members of the briefing members of the Council of Foreign Relations. They've turned their back on their families, their country, and themselves, and definitely their God. Tomorrow I'm going to get more specific about what's going on. I'm going to funnel it all week long. And talk more specifically tomorrow. About the war on our veterans. November the 3rd, 2011. A veteran commits suicide every 8 minutes, they say. And there's a public study published Monday based on November the 3rd, 2011. They said that military suicides increased since the start of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, according to Center for New American Security Suicide Report, fiscal year 2009 alone. In the fiscal year 2009 alone, they say that 1,868 veterans of these wars have made suicide attempts, according to ArmyTimes.com. Then they talk about VA developing more mental health programs, and then, of course, you got your nose spray that said they could curb suicides, a nose spray. Unbelievable. Faced with the stigma of post-traumatic stress disorder, unemployment rates tipping at 12%, loss of the military camaraderie, I wonder why. And many veterans report feeling purposeless upon returning home, I wonder why. You see, unquote, that was, I wonder why was my comment sarcastically. They don't tell you why, though. I've been telling you why. Quote, Marine Corps veteran gives the name of St. Paul, Minnesota. One such veteran that nearly killed himself after watching his life unravel, completing his service. He lost his job as auto dealer in 2008, avoided debt collectors, and fell into a serious depression. At one point, I was sitting there with a gun in my mouth. He told the news outlet, a friend pushed him to seek help at the VA program, the key player in rescuing of veterans in despair. Says that the Veterans Crisis Line, launched in 2007, fielded more than 400,000 calls and saved more than 14,000 lives. The epidemic is raging among those who are currently serving too from 2005-2010. One service member commits suicide every 36 hours, they say, in this one. Study revealed while the VA mental health program has proven to be effective, the authors of the report offered concrete suggestions on how to prevent even more military members and veterans from taking their lives. What they don't talk about is it's being orchestrated. That's my premise. It's being done on purpose. I've been giving you reasons why. To reduce any effect upon the North American Union being formed up. Did you know that back in April of 2010, Senator Nancy Schaefer and her husband were killed. The couple's lives ended around April 2010 on a Friday. In a way that no one expected, police say that Bruce Schaefer, 74, killed his wife of 52 years while she slept. Then after shooting his 73-year-old wife, he turned the gun on himself, and their daughter found the bodies at the Habersham County home. Schaefer's. She was a Congress lady. Well, here's the story. She's going after Child Protective Service, which is controlled by the CIA. That's how they abscond and find the profiled children they want. Child Protective Service. Corrupt as the day is long. She's also going after the North American Union to stop it. And she was effective. Any questions as to why they died? She exposed CPS as a child kidnapping ring. She was murdered by CIA. They killed her husband, make it look like a child, like a suicide. Murder-suicide. Same thing happens in our military. Helps justify weapons takeaway, weapons disarmament. As a matter of fact, Bush passed the Veterans Disarmament Act, 2006, that if you were diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, you as a veteran cannot hold a weapon in your house. You can't have one. They had it all covered. Now tomorrow, we're going to get down to it. War on our veterans. And I'm going to talk about that in detail, even more so tomorrow. How Big Pharma has targeted our troops. Are we giving soldiers drugs that make them kill themselves? Airmen that was given anthrax vaccines that caused anthrax in their body. Halliburton was caught poisoning the troops in Iraq. CIA planted electrodes in brains of suspected soldiers, lawsuit alleges. And governments start fighting homelessness among veterans. I'll talk a lot about that tomorrow in some more detail. Before we go, I want to remind you that my broadcast and Bible studies are played up at highpointradio.net. That's one word, highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. He has four towers up there. He has sponsors. And I don't get anything for it. I do no kind of financial dealings at all. He just, as a favor, plays my broadcast and Bible studies on his network. That's it. And so for him, you know, to run those towers requires money. And he has sponsors that help him keep him up, and he's doing good now, I understand, and doing really well. He's got his dream moving on. And I advertise for him in that regard. So you can go on his website, highpointradio.net, find out what sponsors he's got. And if you need to use their services, then use them up there at highpointradio.net, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I got a Facebook, watchmanforjesus.com. I'm sorry, website, and I got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. I keep it consistent, that I use frequently. Tonight, the Bible study will continue in times events. I've been talking about trying to defer the deception that's been going on today at the highest level. They're telling people lies that we're already in the sixth trumpet. Carl Gallup and P.P. Simmons and Irvin Baxter and all these people, they're preterists and Calvinists, and I don't know whatever else, ist here and ist over there. Deceiving about the true end times events. It's not right, man. It's just not right. lying to people. It's what it amounts to being, because they're responsible for telling the truth and they're not doing it. We're not even in the first seal yet. And they can't prove otherwise. They can write about it, make money off of it, but they sure can't prove it. And this four blood moons is all nonsense. Hagee and Mark Blitz are full of garbage. No, I don't miss words. Only one blood moon. That's in the sixth seal. That's it. It'd do good if Hagee would try to read a Bible every now and then and just tell the truth. Same thing with Mark Blitz. They're making money off a book that's worthless. Can they make something happen? Sure. Technology, supernatural whiz bang, smoke and mirrors, because they belong to the secret societies. Well, they got something planned. But God's going to unravel all of them in His time. He's kept them under control for generations now. He's the one behind everything going on that hadn't happened. When we pull away from God, He's going to let it happen. Meantime, seek through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there are no others. And the gospel is the King James Bible alone. Family, get right with God through Jesus. That's the bottom line. No matter what you've done over in Iraq and Afghanistan, He'll forgive you. You just got to acknowledge it and go to Him. Bring your family back. These psychiatrists are liars. School psychiatrists are liars. They want to put drugs in you. God wants to put His Spirit in you and bring you home. Y'all have a good night. God bless, because they've lost already. It's just the casualties we're counting. That's what it boils down to being. Tomorrow I'll continue on with this discussion. I'll do it all week. Cover as much as I can till Friday. And then who knows what I'll cover next week. If I have to do more, I'll go next week too. Till you get the full scope of what they're doing to our veterans and our children at schools, the education, as working concurrently with each other. That's the kicker. Values clarification is the enemy they're teaching your children in schools today. Y'all have a good night. God bless. And we'll see y'all tonight, 4 to 8 to 9, Bible study. Or tomorrow, 4 to 6. And I call it Veterans Genocide. That's what it is. Good night. God bless. This is Tom Gamble. I'm your host. I'm your watchman. Signing off.
Shining out from Him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had melted into peace.
I am with you every day to the end.